text will be Ephesians 1, verses 15 and 16. Let's read this together. Paul says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now the apostle began back up in verse 3 thanking God the Father for the blessings that He's given us by His grace in Christ. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," which the word blessed has the meaning of thankfulness in it. And then he comes down now to our text and he says here that, "Wherefore I also give thanks for you," to these brethren that he's speaking to. I want to see, first of all, why Paul thanked God and only God for these brethren. He said, "Wherefore?" And then secondly, we'll see the occasion, why he did it. Two things. He said, "After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." And then thirdly, we'll look at a few things that Paul asked God for. Now, the reason that we thank only God for our brethren, for the blessings He's given, is because God's the only one to be thanked for our brethren. He's done all the work, and He's given them the faith, and He's all the one who grows them in faith and in love, and keeps them. Jonah said, "I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Salvation is of the Lord. The psalmist said he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Of thanksgiving and declare, that word means tally, enumerate, recount to God His works with rejoicing. That's the sacrifice that the believer sacrifices, is the voice of thanksgiving. And we do so thanking God for His goodness, for His person, for who He is, and thanking God for His wonderful works, for what He has done. And we do so rejoicing because we're thankful. Believers are thankful that He's done the work. Thankful that it's all by His grace that He saves us. We've heard folks say, "Salvation is of the Lord." There's hardly anybody that gathers to worship in the name of worshiping Christ that won't say, they all say, "Salvation is of the Lord." But very, very few mean salvation is of the Lord. Most folks mean salvation is of the Lord along with my contribution, along with what I did. But if a sinner contributes anything to his salvation, then salvation is not of the Lord. So when it says salvation is of the Lord, it means salvation is all of the Lord. From the beginning to the end, it's all of the Lord. You realize we don't worship God. We've not worshiped the true and living God, unless we worship God as having done all the work in salvation. That's the only God you really worship. Every other God, you're helping Him out. That's not a God. That's not the true God that has to have our help. That's not God. But He's not pleased with those who would glory in themselves. This is the 1 Corinthians 1:29 says that no flesh should glory in His presence. And in the next verse, verse 31 says, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now, if we're going to glory in the Lord, and we're going to thank the Lord, and we're going to thank Him because salvation is all of the Lord, we're thanking Him that it's all of the Lord. That's true now. He said, "I'm the Lord, that's my name, and my glory I will not share with another, neither give my praise to graven images." Therefore, Paul was glad to glorify God. He was glad to thank God because he knew who did all the work. Now, let's look at these blessings again. Let's look back up there and see why he says wherefore. And we'll see here that the Holy Spirit of God, speaking by Paul, tells us how it is that salvation is all of the Lord. Why did Paul thank God for these believers at Ephesus? Well, he's referring back there when he says wherefore. He's referring back to these things we've studied so far that we've looked at. But I want to look at them again. I want to show you a few things here. Paul thanked God the Father for choosing his brethren in Christ and thereby blessing them with all spiritual blessings. Look back at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now you see, if a professing believer does not believe that God chose his brethren before the foundation of the world and thereby blessed them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, then he can't thank God for his brethren. Because that's where it began. God chose my brethren. He chose you, my brethren, put you in Christ before the world began. He did that in heavenly places in Christ. And that's how he blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, it's not saying salvation is of the Lord if I glory in my will and my choosing. That's not salvation is of the Lord. Or when somebody says that God foresaw that my brethren would believe, that's why he chose them. That's not glorying in the Lord. That's not saying salvation is of the Lord. You know what that's doing? That's, if I'm thanking God for that, what I'm actually doing is I'm standing like the Pharisee in Christ's parable and I'm saying, I thank you, Father, that I'm not like other men. You saw something good in me and therefore you chose me. That's boasting. That's glorying in the flesh. God didn't foresee you would believe. We were dead in sins. All our brethren were dead in sins. The foreknowledge of God is not foreseeing, it's God foreordaining. It's God foreordaining. It's written in the Scriptures, as many as were ordained to eternal life, that's who believed. As many as were ordained. And besides that, faith is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Look at Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if God, by his omniscience, did see that some would believe, it was because God foreordained them to eternal life, and that God foreordained to give them faith before the world began. That's what he did when he blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Paul thanked God for his Ephesian brethren the same way he thanked God for his Thessalonian brethren. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. And here's why. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through faith, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, the thanksgiving goes to God. He did that. But now look secondly. Paul thanked God for his brethren because God predestinated them unto the adoption of children. And not only that, but he did it by Jesus Christ. Now this is what I want to show you here it's coming a little more clear to me. Verse 5. He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He did that. Now the predestination unto the adoption, it includes all things necessary, but it includes three particular things. This adoption unto children. And they're all by Jesus Christ. They're all by Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God has a part in one of these things. But overall, they're all by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God appointed His Son, Christ Jesus, to be the mediator and head of His people. And He entrusted this work into His hands to see to it that all of this was accomplished so that His children would receive the adoption of children into His household. Let me give you these three things briefly. Our predestination unto the adoption included the predestinated hour when all the legal requirements would be taken care of by Christ Jesus so that God could adopt these children into His house legally. When you adopt a child, it has to legally, there's some legal requirements that have to be taken care of. And there was with God's people because we sin. We sin. And so when Christ said, the hour is come. You remember all that time they couldn't take him. And then he said, the hour is come. That hour was predestinated by God the Father when Christ would go to the cross and accomplish the redemption of his people so that God could legally, justly have mercy on those children and adopt them into his family. So we read in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now look at Galatians 3. And we're going to come back here a few times. Galatians 4. And look at verse 4. For when the fullness of time was come, this was that predestinated time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see, that was by Jesus Christ. He did that work. He accomplished it. All right, go back to our text. Hold your place there in Galatians 4. Back in our text, our predestination unto the adoption includes our being born of God, the Holy Spirit. We got to be created anew. We got to be born anew. God doesn't just, when he adopts, he doesn't just take his children into his house. He gives them his nature and he gives them his name. And you remember in Ezekiel 16, it's called the time, thy time, the time of love. That was predestinated. He has predestinated the time whenever Christ, our head, who rules all things, who has all things put under his feet right now, and as the head over his church, rules all things to send the gospel right to his people. That time is predestinated. Verse 8 says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself. That's by Jesus Christ. We're talking about Christ did this. The Spirit of God does it, but Christ did this. He sends the preacher. He prays the Father. The Father sends the Spirit. He teaches us in the heart. So this is by. That's why it says, wherein he hath abounded toward us. All this adoption into his house is by Jesus Christ. Look back at Galatians 4 now. Verse 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, so that now we do what children do. We cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. All right, back in our text, our predestination to the adoption of children also includes the predestinated hour when we're going to leave this world and be freed from the bondage of corruption and enter into the glorious liberty of the sons of God and enter into that eternal inheritance that we have because we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ because we're children of God. All right, verse 11. Look what he says. In whom? He's talking about Christ here. In whom? Because this adoption is by Jesus Christ. In whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now let's look at Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Now everything we just covered goes from eternity to eternity. And every part of that work that goes from eternity to eternity is all of God the Father, by Christ Jesus, through the Spirit of God. That means salvation is of the Lord, from the beginning to the end. Now watch. Christ has and he is doing all in perfect faithfulness to the Father. Look at Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren. Don't you love that? Holy brethren. We're thanking God for our brethren here. That's what we're doing. And he says, wherefore, holy brethren. That means you've been set apart by God and made holy by God in Christ Jesus. Holy brethren. And he says, partakers of the heavenly calling. We just saw when we were called. We were called from eternity by God the Father. He named his children then. He put them in Christ and gave us his name right then. Consider, now here's what, consider the apostle. Do you know Christ was an apostle? You know what it means? It means sent. A delegate, an ambassador for somebody. Who's he the ambassador for? God the Father said he appointed him. He said this adoption's by Jesus Christ unto himself. And he's the high priest. That means he did the work of offering up himself, of shedding his own blood, of entering into the holies with his own blood, and of making reconciliation for the sins of his people himself, and that he ministers to us who are out of the way and in need of his grace. Look what it says about him. He's the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And it says, who was faithful to him that appointed him. All this was appointed to him, and he was faithful to him that appointed him. As Moses was faithful in all his house. But look at verse 5. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. I love the doctrine of election. I love the fact that God chose his people not based on any good or evil in us, but simply by his grace. I love it. I love the free, sovereign, electing grace of God. And I dearly love the adoption of children. I love this. It's so personal. It's so personal. Think about this now. This is what John, he said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We're sons of God. That's why the world doesn't know us. That's why, because it didn't know him. It didn't know him. Now you think about this. Paul's thinking of his brothers and sisters in Christ, that God has given faith and he's given this heart of love. And Paul's saying, I'm thanking God for you. And I'm thinking, we're in his house. We're children of God. That means God is our Father. That's amazing. God is our Father. And Christ Jesus is our elder brother. And we're children of God. Sons and daughters of God. Brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he was faithful over his own house, whose house we are. That's wonderful. Children under one roof. This is why Paul is so thankful for his brethren, because he's sitting there, he's thinking, we're brethren. He wasn't exalting himself over them. He was thinking, we're brethren. Saved by the same grace, saved the same grace by where Paul says, by which I was saved, you were saved. And we're all brethren in the same house. And he says he's faithful and he's going to be faithful. He's still doing that work we saw at the end of Ephesians 1. He's risen to the right hand of the Father, and the pleasure of the Lord is going to prosper in his hand. He's doing everything that pleases the Father. And we saw the other day when we walked with Christ all the way up through Jerusalem, all the way to when he ascended to the Father. And we saw how meticulously, in every detail, he fulfilled all that was written. When he entered his public ministry, he went to John the Baptist and he said, I need to be baptized of you. And John said, no, I need to be baptized of you. And he said, suffer it to be so now, for it must be so that we fulfill all righteousness. And he was doing that for John. We must fulfill all righteousness. And from the beginning to the end, he did everything that was written. Everything. So then we know, brethren, now from his throne in glory, with all power, with everything put under his feet, he had it before as God the Son, but now he's there as God-man. He's the man who is reigning, who is God over his church, the head of his church. So he's going to, at the point of time, he's going to cross that path of that lost child with his gospel, and they're going to be called to faith in Christ, and none of them are going to be lost. And those of you that have already been called, he's going to protect you and guide you and lead you and feed you and grow you. And no one's going to pluck you out of his hand or out of his Father's hand. And he's going to present you all to the Father, spotless and without blame, for by what he's done. And none shall be lost, because he's faithful. He's faithful. He shall not fail. That's why Paul said, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. All right, let's go back now. Here's what the occasion was. When did Paul thank God for them? Verse 15. Ephesians 1:15. He says, verse 15, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. And he was the one that the Lord used to preach the gospel to the Ephesians. We saw that in Acts. But he's in prison now. And a lot of things have happened since he saw them. Remember the last time he left Ephesus and he told them, grievous wolves are going to enter in. And he said, remember now, I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And he charged the preachers there at Ephesus. He said, you be sure you feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. Paul was concerned about them. And probably Epaphras probably is the one that brought him this message. But he brought him this message and gave him a good report about the Ephesians. And what he was pleased to hear was that their faith in Christ and their love to all the saints was steadfast and had grown. And he was thankful that new converts had been made. These were things the Apostle Paul was thankful for. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love to all his saints. That is the common characteristic of every believer, from the least to the greatest. It doesn't matter how long they've been in the faith or how new they are in the faith. This is the common characteristic of all God's saints he's called. They all believe in Christ and they all love the brethren because they've been born of the same Spirit. They've been born of that Spirit of love, to where they love one another. And that is the believer's rule of life. That is the believer's rule of life, is faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. John said, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's our righteousness. There's our acceptance with God. It's done. And love one another as he gave us commandment. That's an easy yoke. That's the believer's rule of life. That's the rule we walk by. We walk by faith and we do everything by love. Not by law, by love. Now, go over to 1 Thessalonians 3. I want you to see this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to see here how important it is for brethren to remain, to be steadfast in faith and love. To be steadfast in faith and love. Now, to be steadfast in faith, you and I just cast ourselves into the arms of Christ. We just seek Him. We walk after Him. We walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. That's all we do. And He's the one keeping us. He's the one growing us. He's the one that's going to be the one that gets the glory if we continue steadfast in faith and love. But here we see why it's so important to continue steadfast in faith and love by how it affected Paul and what it did to Paul to hear this news. Look here in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. For this cause, when I could, he's talking of the Thessalonians here, but it's the same for, this is how he felt about all the brethren. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I couldn't stand it anymore, he said, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, your faith and your love, and that you have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Now note this, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Do you see that? You see? So that tells us, brethren, this is the Spirit of God speaking here through Paul. And he's showing us how important faith is, and the love to saints is, not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of our brethren, for their benefit. Paul said, I was about to fade here because I didn't know. I was concerned about you. Well, don't you know, Paul, if they're born of the Spirit of God, God's going to keep them? Sure He did. Don't you know that if God has put a hedge about his people that none's going to be able to turn them away? Sure he did. Sure he did. But the proof of that is if we continue in the faith. And Paul wanted to know the proof of the sincerity of that faith and the sincerity of that love, to know they had continued in that faith and love. And when he found it out, it was such a great encouragement to him, and it just energized him. Well, I could tell you this, your faith, you brethren who are faithful to the gospel, faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, faithful to Him, and love one another. You love one another. You do things to one another. And I see it. I see it growing from the first time that I came here. And I can tell you this, that is a great, great, great benefit to me. I can't tell you what a benefit it is. God uses that. He uses that. John said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in love. The Lord uses that. When it proves that brethren, When you think maybe Satan has, some don't come, are they nowhere under the sound of the gospel? They're not under the sound of the gospel. Period. And you're fearful. You begin to it weighs on you. I mean, it weighs on you heavily because you think the tempter has tempted them away. He's taking them away, and it weighs on you heavily. But then when you've discovered that they haven't fallen away, that they're continuing in the faith, that they're under the sound of the gospel, or they come back to you and they're sitting there hearing the gospel preached, the truth preached. Oh, it does wonders for your heart. It encourages you and it helps you. If Paul said, now we live if you stand fast in the Lord, because you pour out your heart to God, praying for Him, and then when they're proven faithful, you say what Paul said, what thanks can we render to God again? for keeping these brethren, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before the Lord. I tell my family back home all the time, they're in the church there under Brother Darvin, and I tell them all the time that if you believe the Lord and you love one another, then attend the preaching of the gospel. Be there. Be there consistently. I never knew before. I never had any idea before what a burden that puts on a pastor for the saints not to be there. I didn't know before. Now, if you depart and you go somewhere where there's a faithful gospel preacher and you're hearing the gospel preached, I'm delighted. I'm delighted. But just to be gone for, just some personal reason or something like that, that terrifies me. I want to know that you under the gospel. Under the gospel. And also when we see how faith working by love causes thanksgiving to God, when we see how this caused thanksgiving to God from our brethren, that in itself is encouraging to continue in the faith and love one another. To see how encouraging it is to one another, anything that causes praise to be given to our Redeemer, that's reward for the believer. That is our reward. That's what we want, for Him to be glorified. We might not realize this, but when you do something for one of your brethren, look at 2 Corinthians 9. Let me show you this. When you do something for one of your brethren, it causes them to thank Christ Jesus for working that in you. You see, we're not talking about exalting one another. We're talking about when you do something for one of your brethren, simply because you love them, simply because you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you see what He's done for them, you see how He loved them, and you love them, and you just want to help them. That causes, through them, thanksgiving to God. Just what Paul's doing in our text. And they're thanking the Lord Jesus Christ for giving grace to them, to give them a heart, to give them the substance, to do whatever it is they did for you, no matter how great or how small. And look here. He says in verse 11, 2 Corinthians 9:11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service, you supplying the want of saints. He says it not only supplies the want of saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. whilst by the experiment of this ministration, while you go through the act of actually ministering to them, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. That's all that's all we need to know. God's getting all the glory. Christ is getting all the glory. That's our motivation. We're constrained by His love for us and our little feeble love for Him. I'll embarrass you, Robert. You see this? Where's that table at? Did you see that table right over here? We cut some wood out here and had that lumber left over. That pieces of trees. And Robert went and made that table out of these trees and brought it to me. And you might not be able to see it from where it's at, but it's got a big crack right on the top of it because the wood wasn't dried out yet and it cracked. So it's got this big crack right on the top of it. And he brought it over here to me. And I told him, I said, you know, Robert, some people would look at that table and they'd say, that table's not any good. It's got a big old crack right on the top of it. But I love it. I love it because I know why He gave it to me. He gave it to me because I gave Him the gospel, and He loves me because I gave Him the gospel. Well, our little feeble faith, our little feeble love, our little feeble exercises that we do in trying to love one another, it comes up to God with all kinds of flaws, or it has from us all kind of flaws in it, like this table does. But in Christ, we're perfect. And God receives us flaws and all because we're doing what we're doing because He gave us the gospel and He put it in our heart and He gave us love for Him because of what He's done in laying down His life for us. And He receives it all as if it's just as perfect as it can be. See what I'm saying? And when you thank God for that and you glorify God for what your brethren did, all the labor and whatever it is you had to do is worth it. It's all worth it because they're thanking God for you. All right, now I want you to go with me back over to our text, Ephesians, and Ephesians 1. I just want to give you a few things here, and I have to be quick here, but Paul says, I want to look at some things that Paul prayed for. Look at verse 16. He says, I'm making mention of you in my prayers. He not only thanked God for them, he said, I'm making mention of you in my prayers. I'm praying for you too. Now this is going to help us see more clearly what spiritual gifts and graces that we should ask for. I want you to listen to this, what we should ask for our brethren and for ourselves. This is what Paul prayed for. All right? We're going to get into this later in more detail, but just right here in the text, he asked God to give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Look at verse 17. He said, I pray for you that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He's talking about more and more, that they might grow more and more. That, here's why, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. That's what he prayed for. Let me give you some more things. Look over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. He asked for strength in the inner man by God the Holy Spirit. That's what he prayed for his brethren. Look at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth His name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's what he asked God for. Why? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now let me just give you these others because we don't have time to turn to them all. But in Romans, Paul asked God to grant his brethren like-mindedness. He said, now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. That, here's the reason, that you may be of one mind and one mouth, with one mouth, one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he asked God for this, to fill him with joy and peace in believing. He said, "The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Here's why. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And then he prayed for the Philippian brethren that their love might abound in knowledge and judgment. He said in Philippians 1:9, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ." And then he asked God for the Colossians. He asked God to fill them with knowledge of God's will. He said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of your faith and your love," he said, "we don't cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Why? "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." Then to the Thessalonians, he prayed that God would count them worthy of their calling, that he would use them in the work of spreading the gospel. And this is why, "that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." And then, when you look at these six things right here that I gave you, and you see what Paul prayed for, and you see why he prayed, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you'd know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, the exceeding greatness of his power. Pray for strength in the inner man by his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you know this exceeding love of Christ. Pray for your like-mindedness, that you with one mind and one mouth would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things, on and on. When you see what he prayed for, that's the Spirit of God using Paul to teach us what to pray for. And did you notice there, Paul didn't pray for any temporal stuff. In fact, I don't think you can find a scripture in this Bible where a believer prayed and asked for just temporal stuff. They prayed that that God would be glorified, that they wouldn't fall away. It might have been through some temporal thing, but it was that God's grace would be magnified, and that his people would be edified, and that they would be strengthened, and God would be glorified. So that tells us something, brethren, about the things we ought to pray for. Not stuff. Who cares about the stuff? We've got to have Christ. That's who we got to have. All right, what we've seen from this passage? Thank our gracious God for saving our brethren. He gave each one faith in Christ and love for the saints, and we're members of his house. We thank God for them. Remember that your steadfastness in faith and love greatly encourages your brethren, and wavering greatly discourages them. And then remember that by your steadfastness in faith and love to your brethren, Christ is being glorified by much thanksgiving. And remember these spiritual gifts that Paul asked for. These are the things that are important. The things that are really important. I pray the Lord will bless that. I'm going to end with the scripture that Paul ended that prayer with in Ephesians 3. He said in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen."